Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
If you have an empty seat next to you, can you raise your hand? Can you raise it? Okay, there's a few empty seats over here. If anybody's standing and you need a seat, there's a place for you. Praise God. Amen. This has always been a problem for us, but they say it's a good problem. I say it's still a problem, right? But praise God that people are in the house of God this morning, and welcome to the house of God at Pneuma. God is so good. Man, before we get into the message, I want to thank every volunteer that has volunteered over this weekend. If you were here this past Friday night, man, we had probably, I think, the best night of worship we've ever had, man. It was amazing. The Spirit of God flowed in this place. Yesterday, we had our Easter extravaganza, and we had so many we had so many volunteers. We had so many volunteers, and people show up, and I want to say thank you. Also, a very special thank you to all of the Sunday serve team who is not able to be in service today. Can we just give it up for them? Because they're out there serving and sweating. Our parking team, our security team, our Pneuma Kids teachers, our overflow ushers, man. We couldn't do this without y'all. This is the body of Christ at work. And so I thank y'all. Thank y'all for serving. We also, if you have kids here, we do have class for your kids next door. And we have a great children's ministry, great children's pastor. So if your kids are here and they don't want to be in here, send them over there and they're going to have a great time. Amen. But we're going to get into the word this morning. For the past 5 weeks, you know, we've been in a series called Look at Jesus. And we've been looking at several different stories about Jesus that speak to his character and his work, as well as what he requires of us as his children, his disciples. And today is a day where it seems like everyone is looking at Jesus, right? I mean, estimates have it as high as 50% of the U.S. population attending a Resurrection Sunday service today. People are looking at Jesus today. And I'm gonna be honest about something that might make you say, see, this is why I don't go to church. A lot of the people that are attending Easter service today across this world, many of them are going to hell. And that escalated quickly, I know. We were just thanking volunteers. But that's the truth. And I want you to know that that's the truth. And there's no amount of preaching that I can do. There's no amount of miracles. There's no amount of presence that can change that. Not because there's no power in the blood of Jesus. There is, but because that power has been rejected. Now, I don't know who those people are. You don't know who those people are. You can't even say for sure that it's you, because God has changed the most wicked of hearts, the most hardened of hearts. Anything is possible for him. Anything. There is no job too difficult for the Lord. There is not a heart that is too hardened for God. So it's not my job to know, but it is my job to preach. And so I'm going to preach today, but I want to begin by telling you who this message is for. This message is for the people of God. And when I say that, I don't just mean the people who are right with God today. This could also mean those who will become right tomorrow or a little bit later today, hopefully. That's the people of God. The New Testament term for this is the elect. The elect refers to anyone past, present, or future who will receive Jesus and his salvation. In Greek, the word elect means chosen. And because our God is an all-knowing God, he knows exactly who these people are even before they know him. Before I was born, I was a part of the elect. Not officially, I hadn't been born, and I hadn't been born again. I hadn't received Jesus, I hadn't confessed Jesus, But because God knew me before anyone else knew me, because God knew who I would be, because God knew who I would receive, he counted me as a child even before I did anything right or wrong. We've got baby three on the way right now. This little girl. Yeah. Can I tell you, she hasn't contributed a single thing to our family yet. She's just been taking and costing us money. She's not even born yet. She's costing us money. But you know what? We already count her as one of ours. She's our family and we love her. She's a Cantu. Until one day some chump takes her away and changes her name. Golly. Focus, focus. But in the same way, listen, church, God knew you before the foundations of the earth were created. This is why we say it. It's not just a spiritual thing we say. We say Jesus was thinking about you on that cross when he took his last breath. And it is a reality that he was. And so my hope today is that I'm speaking to a room full of the people of God who have either received Jesus or are about to receive Jesus. This is for the people of God. So if you would turn with me and stand with me as we go to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read this story of a man named Zacchaeus. Luke 19, 1 through 10. That's in the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible or you take a little long to find it, I've got you up here. It says this. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector who was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so we hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw, they all grumbled, has he gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said before the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning as a vessel and nothing more, Father. Lord, I pray that your spirit would speak through me, Father God. I pray that you would be on our hearts. I pray, Father God, that we would open ourselves to you and to what you want to say, what you want to do. Lord, I pray that you have your way, my God. Lord, I remove my agenda, my God. I remove my after service plans for this moment where you want to speak into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can take your seat. I know Easter Sunday is a crazy Sunday. It really is. And it's hard for some of us, those of us who are serving, to focus. Even for me, you would think that we look forward to Easter Sunday, and we do, but when it gets here, as much as we're trying to focus on the Holy Spirit and on the Word, we're just thinking, what's going on in that parking lot right now? What's happening out there? Are we having technical difficulties anywhere? But I want to ask you right now to just give me the next few moments, because I believe that God wants to speak again to the people of God. And so I titled the message today, God Chose Me. God Chose Me. After many years of preaching the gospel and presenting the gospel, I've realized that I have unintentionally may have presented the gospel in a way that could be a little bit misleading. I'm not a heretic or anything like that. I'm not leading anybody astray. But I've always presented the gospel or salvation as something that the person needs to choose. Every Easter, I get up here and I say the same thing. I say, now it's up to you. I've done my part. I've preached the gospel. My job is done. The ball is in your court. Now, there's truth to that, but I don't want you to get the wrong idea. We have to decide to pick up our cross and to follow Jesus. We have to choose to worship. We choose to come to church. We have the free will to respond to him. But the Bible very clearly teaches that you and me don't choose salvation. Salvation is extended to us. Even more so, the Bible teaches that we don't choose Jesus. Jesus chooses us. This is all over scripture. Jesus says in John 15, 16, you did not choose me. I chose you. Paul says in Ephesians, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. He says in Romans, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those who he justified, he glorified. This is why I say this is for the people of God. The people of God is who Jesus died for. But pastor, does that mean that Jesus didn't die for those that would reject him? No, he died for everyone. He died for the whole world. But he also knew those who would reject him. Meaning that as Jesus was on that cross, he knew that his blood would mean nothing to certain people because they would choose not to receive it. But the Bible says, but to all who did receive it, he gave the right to become children of God. So when you think of it like this, it makes you realize that the power of the resurrection, church, listen, the power of the resurrection is fully actualized through those who receive him. See, because Jesus died. Jesus died on a Friday. He gave his last breath. The cross was covered in blood, and it was meant to be for the entire world. But he also knew that there's going to be so many people who would choose to see that cross and keep on walking. Jesus died for the people of God. Jesus died for those he knew would receive him. And it's available for everybody. Some of you theologians right now, you're like, is Pastor Calvinist? No. I believe that we have free will, but we can't obtain salvation on our own. I don't care how good you think your theology is. It's not that good. We cannot earn salvation without Jesus. We can't choose on our own not to go to hell. The Bible says no one is righteous, not one. If not for Jesus, we would all be in hell. We could all do our best. We could choose to be charitable. We could choose to be good, loving, kind-hearted people. But even the best humans on their best days are totally affected by sin. So what we have in Jesus is the gift of salvation. That's what we have. A gift that we could not earn. It's called grace. The New Testament word for grace literally means gift. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This means the only decision that we have in the matter is whether or not we choose to receive him. Because we've already been chosen. We've already been called to join him. We've already been sought after. The debt of sin has been paid off by the blood of the Lamb. The power of death has been defeated through the cross and the resurrection. The way has already been made by Jesus. You don't have to find salvation. It's already here. You don't have to find Jesus. He already sought you. He already knows you by name. We say that all the time. We say, I found Jesus. You didn't find anything. You can't even find your keys. Can't find Jesus. You can't do that. Jesus found me. Because in my blindness, I couldn't even seek him. In my sin, I couldn't pursue righteousness. All I did was call upon the name that had already called me long ago. When he uttered those words, it is finished. God chose me and he chose you. And some of you are sitting in the room and you're like, Pastor, you don't know me. I'm the worst of the worst sinners. If I even shared a portion of my past with the person sitting next to me, they would begin to distance themselves. They would be too afraid to allow me in the room. And you've told yourself you don't think that you're worthy of salvation. You've told yourself, I know what I deal with. I know what I struggle with. And I know that nothing could ever change me. I'm here to tell you that that is a lie from the enemy, that God already chose you by name. Before the foundation of the earth was even established, before you even made a single mistake, before you even knew what sin was, Jesus chose to die for you and offer his grace to you. Tell the person next to you, God chose me. Now tell the other person a little bit louder with a little bit more conviction, God chose me. I need this to get through to you. And can I tell you that there's a reason that you're here today? There's a reason that you're here. You think it's because it's Easter. You think it's because this is what you do during this time. It's family, it's tradition. But I'm talking again to the chosen. Maybe you're not walking with Jesus yet. Maybe you've walked with him before, but you turned away from him. Maybe you're here and you're just curious. Maybe you're still open-minded. You're still kind of playing with the idea of Jesus, but you're not really convinced yet. That's what we see right here in the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was curious about Jesus. And for context, Jesus had just healed a blind man. He had healed a blind man on his way to Jericho, and everybody who witnessed it marveled and praised God and began to follow Jesus. It seemed like everywhere Jesus was going, he would amass a bigger and bigger following. And so he's now getting to Jericho, and by this time, the crowd is probably much bigger. And Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming, and he really wants to see what this Jesus is about. But there's obstacles in his way. The Bible says there's a large crowd in his way, and Zacchaeus is not a strong enough man. He's small in stature, so he can't make his way through the crowds. And this kind of speaks to the larger reality of salvation. There's too much in the way for us to get to Jesus on our own. We may not be short. I'm not short. I'm a tall king. Some of you are short. I'm bald. You know, fall a man hit his heart. But we've got obstacles. We all fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. As righteous as you might be, you fall short of the glory of God. There's always an obstacle in our way. By our own efforts, we cannot get to God. We can try, and many of us do try. We can connect to God through the reading of the word. We can connect to him by coming to church, by singing songs about him. And those things can kind of act as our own sycamore trees. But unless Jesus calls you to him, we cannot know the Father. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, but he can't make it to Jesus on his own. So this is what he does. He sees a tree and he climbs that tree to get a better view of Jesus. But you know what? Not even a better view is going to change your life. You can be sitting front row on a Sunday morning and that's not going to transform your life. You can come to church every Sunday for the rest of your life, and church is not going to change your life. You can do ministry, you can sing, you can be behind the scenes, you can be in the boardrooms, but nothing will transform your life until you receive the call of Jesus over your life and receive him. I don't care how good of a view you've got. Preachers can stand up here. They got a great view. I have a great view of everybody. I could see everything. I could see the people that are dozing off. You need to stop that. But this doesn't qualify me to know him. He has to call me, and I have to receive the call. And that's what happens next in this story. Jesus calls this man by name. Look at verse 4 again. It says, so he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house. There's three things that I want you to notice real quick if you're a note taker, just in these quick two verses. Number one, Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He called him by name. Do you know, church, that Jesus' death and resurrection was him calling you? That's That's our mass invitation. The Bible talks about it. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God being like a big wedding feast where the king wants to throw a wedding banquet for his son. And he tells his servants, I want you to go out and I want you to bring the best of the best. Anyone who's anyone, invite them to come to this wedding feast. And so his servants go out, they make the invitation, but nobody shows up. And so Jesus says, okay, well then go out to the streets and bring in the hood rats, bring in the gangsters, bring in anybody who smells funny, anyone who's wearing something weird, bring them, I want them here, invite them in. And the whole parable ends with Jesus saying, many are called, but few are chosen. Why is that? Have you ever thought about it? Why are many called, but only a few chosen? Well, it's not because they weren't called, because they were called. It's because they haven't received the call in order to be chosen. Zacchaeus received the call. He didn't stay in the tree. He didn't get down and get lost in the crowd and say, oh, well, maybe next time Jesus is in town, maybe next Resurrection Sunday I'll get right. No. He received the call that day. See, one of the differences between the people of God and the people of the world is that the people of God received the call. That's what makes them chosen. It's not because they're better. It's not because they're more righteous. It's not because they look more like Christians. It's not because they need Jesus more, because we all need Jesus the same. It's simply because the people of God chose to receive the call. That's number one. Jesus called Zacchaeus and he answered. Here's number two, and this one's really important. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here because I think this one is the most relatable one. Number two is Zacchaeus came quickly. Someone say that word, quickly. Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus, hurry down. Tell the person next to you, hurry up. Church, listen. I believe. I know it. I know we have some Zacchaeus-like spirits in the room today. I believe we have men and women who have been climbing sycamore trees to look at Jesus. You've heard about him. You know some things about him. You know people who know him. You've got family who knows him. You got family members who serve him. But you're still on that tree. And you've been telling yourself, one day I'll come down. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You've been saying it to yourself. You've been telling yourself, I want to get right with God. You've been telling yourself, I need to come to church more. I want to raise my family in the ways of the Lord. I don't want them to grow up without God. You've been telling yourself this, but for some reason, you're still in that tree. Maybe life has just been too busy, man. That's usually what happens. You're pursuing things that have not allowed the time to come to church and really develop a relationship with God. And maybe you're just not ready for that shock of life that comes with committing to Jesus, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. When you walk with Jesus, it's a shock to your life, because all of a sudden you've got to stop pursuing the things that you've been pursuing, and you've got to follow him. You've got to pursue him. See, Zacchaeus was pursuing greed all his life. He was pursuing money. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with pursuing a career and working hard. But this was an idol for Zacchaeus. And you just know that if you take that call and you receive the call of Jesus, you're going to have to realign some priorities. You know that you're going to have to repent of some sin. You know that you're going to have to deal with some pride that you've allowed to build for so much of your life, and you're gonna have to deal with things that you know that God is asking for, so it's just not the right time. God, let me just stay in this tree. Pastors, you don't understand. My kids got baseball. If you have a boy, your kid's in baseball. It's been like that since I was born. Everyone's in baseball, and hear me out. Listen, I'm not telling you to take your kid out of baseball. I'm not telling you that they can't pursue that. I'm not even telling you that on a Sunday morning, if they got a game, you go up and you be a good parent and you show up for them. But don't let Little League be your excuse for not having a relationship with Jesus. Don't let baseball be the reason that you go to hell, especially if your kid's not that good. You know who you are. Oh, he's going somewhere. Shoot. Listen.
Bring it back in. Bring him back in.
In all seriousness, hurry up, man. Hurry up. Bro, I'm going to call you brother and I'm going to call you sister because that's what I believe that you are. Hurry up. That's what he tells him. Hurry down, Zacchaeus. Church, you don't know how much time you've got left to get down from that tree. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if you've got a full life ahead of you. You don't know that. Your life might be about done. And I don't say that to scare you. I say it to rush you. We're tired of waiting for you. Husbands of godly women. Your wife is tired of waiting for you, man. She's tired. Every Sunday she comes faithfully. She brings them kids, your kids. And she puts them in Numa Kids. And she worships. And she's tired. She's tired of hearing the same word over and over. That one day he's going to be sitting next to you and worshiping. She's tired. She's tired. And she's a good woman. And she's faithful. And she's going to continue to wait for you. Because she loves you. And she loves the Lord. But hurry up, bro. Hurry up. What are you doing? Young woman, stop looking for love in places you know you can't find it. Stop looking for love in places that don't last. Stop trying to fill the void with things that don't last. Stop playing with the idea of committing fully to Jesus and just do it already. Hurry up. Tomorrow is not the day to receive Jesus. That day is today. I'm tired of being patient too. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for friends. I'm waiting for family. Waiting for siblings. I've been waiting and I've been praying and I've been hearing these words and I've been believing and I'm tired of it. And if you're here today, I'm probably not going to say this to your face, but I'm going to say it right now. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry down from that tree. The third thing I want you to notice is that Jesus invites himself to the house of Zacchaeus. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I got to go to your house today. I must stay at your house. It's like Jesus had already made arrangements before even letting Zacchaeus know. Totally caught him off guard. In his mind, he's probably thinking, I'm the worst person here. Surely he's not even going to notice me. Everybody else was thinking the same thing. The Bible says that everyone heard what Jesus said and they grumbled because they couldn't stand the fact that out of all the people in the crowd, this guy, Zacchaeus, the most despised person there, was being called by Jesus. But notice that Jesus already knew his name before he even met him. And he says, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. I know that Jesus is talking to somebody this morning, man. I know that he's been knocking at your heart. He's been telling you, I got to stay with you. Let me in. You haven't let him in yet for some reason. See, another difference between the people of God and the people of the world is that the people of God don't treat Jesus like a stranger. When you treat someone like a stranger and they invite themselves over, you at the very least have to think about it. I need to clean up. Did I leave dirty dishes in the sink? Did I leave dirty clothes all over the floor? I think there was a bag of hot Cheetos on the couch that I've just left in such a rush. I gotta go home. I gotta clean first. I gotta scrub the toilets. And we feel as if we have to clean up our mess before letting one inside. Can I tell you the truth? Jesus already sees that mess. He sees the mess that you don't even know is there. You should let him in to point some things out. He sees every insecurity, every thought, every struggle, every addiction, every depression, everything that you're facing with, every fake smile. He sees through it, man. He sees all of your past and he still wants to come in. So the last thing that I want you to notice is the response from Zacchaeus, and I'm almost done. Jesus calls him. He tells him to hurry. He invites himself over to his house. And verse 6 says, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And then he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I restore it fourfold. This is Zacchaeus turning away from his sin. All of the wrongdoing. He's giving it to Jesus. He's repenting. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Oh. People of God, past, present, and future. Many of you are here today. Listen, get your last 5 minutes in. Many of you are here today to look at Jesus. That's why you're here. Some of you, it's to worship him. Some of you, it's to celebrate him. Some of you, it's to hear a message about him. And some of you, it's simply to acknowledge him. And like Zacchaeus, some of you are looking at him from your sycamore trees, not even realizing that Jesus all along has been looking at you. Jesus sees you. Jesus loves you. Jesus can save you. Jesus desires you. Jesus is calling you. Jesus loves you. Jesus chose you. But you can't wait anymore, man. You can't wait anymore. The devil wants you to wait. He wants you to wait. He wants to convince you that you still got time. And that's always going to be his lie. You could be 100 years old in here with an oxygen tank, barely making it. And he's going to tell you, you still got time, brother. That's a lie. You don't know how much time you've got left. Hurry up. He's always going to make you believe things that aren't true. He's going to make you believe that looking at Jesus is the same thing as looking to Jesus. It's not. It's not. You can look at Jesus. You can look at him from afar. You can admire him. You can know some worship songs. You could used to be in ministry. You could used to go to church all the time. Looking at Jesus is not the same thing as looking to Jesus, but the enemy wants you to think that it is. And you've got all that potential in you for eternal life, man. Not because you did anything about it, but because it's yours if you want it. Can I tell you that the blood of Jesus has already been shed. It's already been shed. His sacrifice has already appeased the Father. The battle has already been won. The devil knows it. Your demons know it. Your spirits know it. Your insecurities know it. But they don't want you to know that God has already chosen you. Because if you knew it, maybe you would come running to him with fervor. And you would come down from that sycamore tree with haste. I want you to stand. Stand with me. Church, you are chosen by God. You are chosen to reflect the image of God. You are chosen for eternity. My challenge to you this morning is to run to him. Run to him. Run with haste. Let him break those chains. Let him take those burdens. Let him forgive your sins, man. Because it's possible. Let him love you. Woman of God, sister in Christ, let him love you. Man of God, let him lead you. Stop trying to figure it out by yourself. Stop thinking that you're too prideful, too strong, that you can do it all by yourself. Let the Father lead you. You've already been chosen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Because before I even knew you, Lord, you already knew me. You knew all of us, my God. Every single person in this room, Lord. Those of us this morning who feel unseen, who are burdened by fear, my God, who are burdened by sin, God. You chose to die for us because you loved us, Lord. You chose to give us salvation, Father. And I thank you. I thank you, my God, because I don't deserve it. I thank you, my God, because I'm unworthy, Lord. I thank you, Father, because I am no good, my God. But in your eyes, Lord, I was worthy to be died for, Father. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I want to open up the altars. I don't know if we have anybody in the overflow room, but this is for them as well. A simple invitation. Listen, listen, listen. And as soon as I'm done, I want the worship team to sing something. Listen. I don't want just anybody coming to the altars right now. This is for those who are still sitting on that sycamore tree, making the excuses, waiting for someday, for some day to come. Jesus is saying, come now. Hurry. Right now, he's calling you by name. If that's you this morning and you want to receive Jesus and begin to walk with him, these altars are open. These altars are open. But you got to come down. You got to come down. And you got to come fast. Don't wait, brothers. Don't wait. If you're committing for the first time, if you're recommitting, this altar calls for you to receive Jesus. Come on, worship.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.